Now, that takes us to time on this item, but there was a question of the personnel committee composition, and I emailed today the board the tally that was kindly conducted by the KPFK Elections Working Group about that. If we are going to consider that question, this is the point in the agenda when it should be done. So if anybody wants that issue addressed, then we would need to extend time at this time.
I move that we...
Can you be clear on that, Dave? What you mean by that?
Well, so if you want to deal with the issue, any motions regarding the personnel committee composition in light of that tally, if we're going to deal with it in this meeting, needs to be part of this agenda item. And so if we're going to deal with it, then there has to be a motion to extend time to deal with it.
Well, actually, I was going to suggest that, so I'd like to extend about 5 minutes.
It won't be possible to do anything.
It's
in a motion to extend by 15 minutes.
I will move to extend by 15 minutes.
There already has been. I take that as a second. Is there objection to extending to deal with this issue? Hearing none. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, it seems like, never mind.
Well put. Okay.
I'd like to offer a motion.
Huh?
I'd like to offer a motion about this.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you are aware of that situation, but we understand that there were some irregularities, is the term, I guess, in the tabulating votes. So I would like to, in the name of expediency, to suggest that in cases where individuals other than those declared winners were actually the winners, in case there was somebody else besides the official selection who actually was a winner, that an individual be allowed to just be added to the committee and work with that committee rather than replacing the person sitting at the moment.
Point of order.
The problem with that motion is it's not clear what is meant. I think in this case, for that motion to be in order, you're going to have to specify who you mean and which elections you're referring to.
Well, actually, I don't have the results specifically. I understand that they are that in the new tabulation that individuals who were believed to have lost the election actually won it.
Well, let me accept the point of order, and then I will list what the results of that tally were, and then maybe that will clarify matters, and then I'll come back to you once we've done that. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I would like the chair to just review the procedures as they now stand pursuant to a motion that was passed by the PNB over challenging the membership of committees after they've been seated by the board and have functioned. And I'm just wondering, before we can entertain a motion to reconstruct the membership of this personnel committee, if we have to deal with the motion and Robert's Rules of Order, which do not allow a challenge after the committee is seated. I just wonder if the chair could review that issue.
Okay, let me clarify. Yes.
Wasn't that what Ambrose Lane quoted at our last PNB meeting when there was a question of the seating of the people at WPFW?
Okay, if you'll allow me, I'll run it all down. I sent around that motion as well. So let me just say, what happened was in the recount, it turned out that, or in the count of the ballots, it turned out that in the election for the WPFW election, Ambrose received, Ambrose essentially would have won. He received 9 first place votes. Rob received 6 first place votes. AC received 5 first place votes. So AC and IRV would have been dropped off, and the people, his second place choices, would have rolled forward, and AC's second place choices, the people who vote for AC voted second, one of them voted for Rob, one of them voted for Ambrose, and several of them, the remainder, the other three, didn't vote for anybody. So Ambrose would have received 10 votes, and Rob would have 7, so that would elect Ambrose in an IRV election. In the case of the WPFW election, Patty received 10 votes.
WBAI. What did I say?
WBAI, Patty received 10 first-place votes. Bob received 10 first-place votes, and one person abstained. Patty received 3 second-place votes. Bob received 1 second-place vote, and the tellers used second-place votes to determine that election. But Robert says that when there's a tie in such elections, a coin toss should be used. So now the motion that was, what Don is referring to is the parallel to the PFW election, where although there were issues with the way technically the tallying was handled there, the board opted to allow that election to stand, and Ambrose made a motion to affirm the provision of Roberts from Chapter 14, which reads as follows: the time at which an election takes effect. An election to an office becomes final immediately if the candidate is present and does not decline, or if he is absent but has consented to his candidacy. If he is absent and has not consented to his candidacy, the election becomes final when he is notified of his election, provided that he does not immediately decline. If he does decline, the election is incomplete, and another vote can be taken immediately or at the next meeting without further notice. After an election has become final, as stated in this paragraph, it is too late to reconsider the vote on the election. An officer-elect takes possession of his office immediately upon his election's becoming final, unless the bylaws or other rules specify a later time, etc. So my understanding of that and the manner in which it was adopted by the board is that this election, upon the announcement of the results and the seating of the candidates, that is the current composition of the personnel committee. Now, what I'm understanding Ray to say is he's not asking for a reconsideration of the election. What he's asking for is an expansion of the membership of the committee to include other people. Now, the way he framed it, I think it's ambiguous. So, Ray, I'll recognize you and ask you, can you make it specific so that we know exactly who you're talking about?
Excuse me. Is Rosalinda.
Yes, Rosalinda.
Are we only speaking about two members? Ambrose Lane, AC, Patty Heffley, and Bob Letter? From those areas, right?
That is what I'm taking the intent of Ray's motion to be, but I want to get from him if he can clarify his motion before I ask for a second. Ray? Okay, well, go ahead.
I was making a more general rather than specific motion. Personally, I have trouble accepting the notion that if we that what we consider accepting the result, our problem is that because how do you accept the result without knowing how the calculations were made? Except to trust the messenger. So the conclusion, the implication here would be that even if somebody just went in the back and just tossed a coin and decided who the winner was and told us who the winner was, once we said yes, that person would be indeed seated, and I have trouble accepting that. Anyway,
it's a point.
Mary Grove, I'd like to be on the staff.
So therefore, I would move that AC Bird and Bob Leather will be allowed to be added to the membership role of that committee to continue the work that has
already been done. I think you mean Ambrose Lane, not AC. AC's already.
Ambrose.
Okay, so the motion by Ray is that Ambrose Lane and Bob Letter be added to the roster of the Personnel Committee. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there debate on that topic?
I would like to, well, my apologies to the PNB for not being prepared. If people thought I was in charge of this whole process, I have to really apologize because I did not, I mean, even though I'd taken the seminar on it, I did not have the book in front of me. I was not aware that if for example, we were doing the votes, I guess we should have had five or six separate ballots, but I was not aware that if you had two people that were competing, that you wouldn't count the second vote, that you would go to that you would flip a coin rather than go to those votes that were second. And it's been so long, I have no idea how, if there was such a disparity between Ambrose and AC, how we made a mistake on that. So my apologies. I would really rather have been taking the minutes than counting the ballots. So I guess in the future you will not use me in that situation, because in the past when you have sent me ballots, I've been with someone that had a computer that was our election coordinator, and everything was put into the computer, so I was not the person in charge of that whole process.
Thank you, Teresa, and we appreciate how much effort you put in, and thank you very much. I also want to apologize because some of that was my fault for not having ballots prepared and not having the instructions correct myself. I mean, prepared and ready.
I would rather not be in charge of these processes.
Okay.
To me, it's too calculated. Unless I have everything written down in front of me, I'm not good at that. But I also, if we add these people the way we're doing it, then there is differing representation for the station areas, and I'm reluctant to do that also.
Okay, I take it that's a statement in opposition. Is there any further debate or amendment?
I call the question, Mr. Chairman.
Call the question.
Is there an objection to closing debate at this time? Hearing no objection to closing.
That is
Ray. Yes, Ray?
For me, this is rational, and I don't want to speak to it now until this is actually extended. I mean, until we... I'll have to continue officially. So I would object to the call.
I'm sorry, point of personal fears, I can't hear you.
Yeah, can you say that again, Ray, because it was hard to hear what you said.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that I think we should continue a little bit so we can be clear as to what's involved rather than according to question.
Okay, so there's an objection to closing debate. Can you call the roll on the motion to close debate, Teresa? It requires two-thirds to close debate.
Whose motion was it to close debate?
That was Sarve's.
Sarve. Okay. Evelyn?
Yes.
What is... Okay. Yes. Lydia?
Yes.
AC?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Ray? Ray?
I guess I should vote no.
All right. Ambrose?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Alan?
Are we voting to close debate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Rosalinda Montes Palacios?
Yes.
Sarve?
Yes.
Rip? Rip Robinson.
Abstain.
Bob Robinson. Deb Shafto.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I think I heard Rip. I think I heard Rob Robinson say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did I? Now I hear some background noise.
And that all says yes.
Rob Robinson said yes.
I heard him say yes.
Okay. Zarina Shakir.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson?
Abstain.
Don White?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams?
Abstain.
Abstain? Okay.
You didn't
sorry?
Call on me.
We're getting to you, Mary.
We're not going by.
In case you hadn't noticed, we're not going by signal area anymore. We're doing
alphabetical,
and we're moving down each time. Teresa Allen votes yes, and Mary Berg.
Yes.
Okay. So that's 14 yes and 2 no.
Okay, so we're going to close debate and move to a vote. Can you repeat the motion, please, Madam Secretary?
Move that Ambrose Lane and Bob Letter be added to the Personnel Committee.
Okay. Will you call the roll?
Is there any objection?
Any objection?
I guess.
Hearing?
Sorry. I'm going to abstain.
Yes. Are there any other objections?
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. In that case, will you call the roll, Teresa?
Okay.
What are we calling the roll on now?
The motion to
the
add...
Motion?
Add Ambrose Lane and Bob Letter.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for asking, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
A.C. Bird? Lisa Davis?
Yes. I think I heard a yes.
No.
I did. I had heard it twice.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put him yes and speak up, A.C., if you feel otherwise.
Yes. No, I'll say yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Ray.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you, A.C. I'm sorry. Ray LaForce?
Yes.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Alan Minsky?
I am passing. I'll vote in a moment.
Okay, thank you. Rosalinda Montes Palacio?
Yes.
Tarv Randhawa?
Yes.
Rip Robbins?
Abstain.
Thank you. Rob Robinson? Rob Robinson? I can't hear a vote from Rob. Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Zarina Shakir?
Abstain.
Bill Jackson?
Abstain.
Don White?
Abstain.
Ron Williams?
No.
Teresa Allen says no. Mary Berg?
Yes.
Evelyn Bethune?
No.
And back to Alan Minsky.
I'll abstain.
Okay. And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 yes. 1, 2, 3. 3 no. Pass.
Okay, it passes. All right, so the next item on the agenda is the ED report. Greg, you have 10 minutes for your report.
Okay. You've received a report by email. I'll just summarize some of the main points, and then we can go directly to questions. In the area of sort of general administration, I've reported to you that there are a number of specials that are in the works, probably two, a special on the situation in Palestine, is now scheduled for July 16th, so the times will probably vary from station to station of broadcast. Also a special on Katrina, which consists of a one-hour documentary, which has already been recorded, and then a one-hour additional conversation and call-in, and that will be broadcast by all the stations on August the 1st. In the area, I mentioned in the report that some progress is being made in organizing the elections for this year, and the best news in that area is that we are going to, despite the use of first-class mail this year, which is obviously a progress, going to be able to save substantial money through the efforts of the election supervisor Rather than contracting with a major election firm, we're going to basically contracting with a production of a sort of printing company that can handle the mailings and purchase scanners. Les says he's about 99.5% sure that this is going to work. It will save us potentially about $70,000 to $75,000 over what we might have spent had we gone ahead with the more expensive contract with a firm. There has been some delay in selecting the election supervisors, but that's being worked out, and the general managers are being kept informed and involved, and I'm seeing the applications for that. I'm also involved in this evaluation process, which was referred to, with actually about 12 members of the staff. I've done about 6 interviews so far. I hope to complete all but one of them before July the 7th. That's the first stage of the process. Really the second stage, because the first stage was when the staff members reviewed their own job descriptions. So they will also have the opportunity to do a self-appraisal, get the opportunity also to see the summary of my own appraisal of them based on the interviews that have been done, and that will occur during the month of August, and then the motion you passed will help to complete that process so that you can see recommendations at the PMB meeting in September. Teresa asked about the FSRN negotiating team. That team from the staff consists of myself, Lonnie Hicks, Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliate coordinator, and Eva Georgia, the general manager at KPFA. In addition, the PMB has also appointed, a liaison group to report back to you, and we are currently trying to set up a meeting with FSRN representatives during the month of July. I don't know the exact date. I've proposed 3 different dates as possibilities, and we'll see which is possible. We have to get 9 or 10 people together at the same time, and you know how difficult that can be.
Pause for a moment? Somebody's got a lot of intermittent noise. Somebody's got a bad connection that keeps clicking,
sure.
And somebody else has got a lot of background noise. If you could mute yourself on this service, it's #1, I believe. While Greg's giving the report, it'll help us all hear him. Thank you. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm just try to go through this quickly so we can discuss it. The Corporate Council Committee will report soon, so I won't say much about that, but we have a motion for you. And I've also met with the PMB's program committee recently to begin to speak about national programming. I imagine there may be some questions about that, so I won't go into it. Leave that for questions. On the legal side, I just want to mention that at least one of the pending lawsuits that we were looking at has been dismissed, which is good news, in a case that came out of New York, and that we are still...
That can be discussed in executive session.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll pass over that. I mentioned 2 other things and then stop. One is that there had been a request to develop a statement that the PMB might adopt and a plan of action for becoming involved in the issue of protecting net neutrality. And I'm hoping that at some point, I don't see it on the agenda tonight, but I'm hoping that that will come forward because I think it would be a good move for us to take a leadership role in this area. And I did work with a few members of the PMB on that. And finally, we are preparing a large direct mailing to go out in September, and I've been working with Lonnie on that and developed a new draft that we're pretty happy with, and we're hoping that we can stay on schedule with that. But that is, to some extent, linked to the issue of national programming. And so the kinds of discussions that are going on around national programming are important because We believe national programming is also, in addition to being a good decision for the network, also a way of us attracting additional donations, and so we're really hopeful that this effort goes forward. I'll stop there and open the floor to questions.
I think we have, so I actually didn't get the exact time you started. I think we have about 3 or 4 minutes.
Mr. Chair,
remaining.
Teresa?
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
Don White.
I guess my question is to you, Dave. I guess this is my error. I talked to Don about the issue of, in the past, the board has asked the ED to do an editorial or make statements for the foundation on various issues. And I was on vacation and asked Don to pose the possibility that our executive director make a statement for us about net neutrality. And
I'm going to cut you off because I hear where you're going. It would be in order now, given the PD, the executive director's report and his having raised that issue, for you to move that the board request that he issue an editorial on that topic.
All right. And other similar, okay, so I move that we request our executive director to issue an editorial and take a stand on various media issues, including net neutrality for the foundation.
Is there a second to that?
I second that.
Second.
And I'd like to speak to it.
And
go
I
ahead,
would
John.
Too.
John and then Mary.
Yeah, I just want to commend the executive director because immediately after I posted a request that this be done, he informed me that he'd been talking to other board members. You'll recall Professor Lessig in New York. He's one of the proponents of our position, I think, to protect access. So, I believe at this time, Greg already has the skeleton of a statement. So I'm not altering the motion, but I'm just thinking that as soon as Greg has what he thinks is kind of the final, because I did a little input, a very little input, I just asked that he add something about how this would impact Pacifica's access to the net, which he did almost immediately. So as soon as this is prepared, I think it should be sent to all board members so that we can see it and be prepared to endorse it.
Okay, I don't believe we need to make a motion on that effect. I believe Greg will send us whatever he does.
Excuse me, just correction. I said explicitly that I was not making a motion or changing the motion.
Great. Okay.
But I just would like to see it expedited.
Okay, Lisa has a point of information,
yeah,
and Mary would like to speak, and then we'll be at time.
I'd like to speak.
I move to extend time by 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I second that.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah, we have questions.
We don't need that much.
Is there any objection to a 10-minute extension of time?
No.
Hearing none, we'll extend by 10 minutes. I have a point of information from Lisa, then Mary and Ambrose.
And Lydia.
And then
could you read the motion again? I know you said something specifically about the net neutrality issue, but then I thought you also said and other various media issues.
Yes. I move that the ED issue an editorial and position for the foundation on net neutrality and current media issues relevant to the foundation.
Okay. Mary?
Yes, I think that I don't know what the other issues are that Teresa's talking about, but the crucial one is net neutrality. And, of course, it will impact us very badly, as it will almost everybody except the top few people. So I really am urging that this be done as expeditiously as possible and that it be couched in the strongest possible language. And if there's any teeth, I can't think of any myself, but maybe Greg can, that we could put in it. I wish there were. This is a crucial, crucial thing, and I think it should happen really soon. The Senate's going to take it up, and we'll be done for pretty quick.
Ambrose?
We're a little behind on this. I think he should get this out as quickly as possible to our entire mailing list, and where you can, have them to urge people on their mailing list to get in touch with their U.S. senator. I've already done this. We've done it a week or so ago when the House first acted, because it's often important to get it out there and to get people to contact their senators. I mean, the House is too late, but the senators now need to hear from the people. And I'm even getting calls back today that people have already contacted the senators and got a positive response. We've got to move.
Mm-hmm. And to just clarify something that Mary raised, in the past, when we've had editorials, we asked all stations to air them, and I believe that that we could add a provision, or we can just ask the executive director to ensure that the editorial is read on all five stations.
Yes.
Is there any objection to our including that as we've done in the past?
You want that added to the motion?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it. We don't need to add it to the motion. But that's what we've done in the past with these editorials.
Mary Berg, I'd like to add that to the motion and make that amendment.
Mary.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to amending it in that way? Great. Okay. Then we're at time. We're going to move to a vote. Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Can I just say something that might need to have the time extended?
Mr. Chair.
Hold on, I'm going to recognize Lisa, and then I'll hear whoever was just speaking.
For the most part, I agree with most of the motion. I certainly definitely agree with the net neutrality issue. I just have an issue with other media issues, especially since we don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
And there might be various opinions about other media issues. So, I mean,
I agree with that, too.
Would you like to? Are you making a motion to strike other media issues from the motion?
Yeah, I'm making a motion to strike other media issues.
I'll second that.
There's
I'll
a second to that.
One of the information is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
Could we modify it to say that the executive director would present those issues to the board before moving forward on them?
We won't have an opportunity to act as a body, so I'm going to rule that out of order. He can always bring anything before us at any of our meetings.
Mr. Chair?
Wait, hang on a second. Lydia, had you asked to be on this stack, and had I
yes,
not
I
called
did.
On you? Lydia?
That's correct.
Okay, you and then Rob.
I wasn't on this issue. I just had a question of when you're finished with this issue, I have a question of Greg.
Okay, then Lydia will come back to Rob and AC. Rob?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would just simply like to ask the executive director to report back to the board if some stations refuse to air the editorial, because that's happened in the past, and I would appreciate knowing who does and doesn't air the editorial about an issue like net neutrality.
Thank you. AC?
No, I was just going to ask that the executive director consider some of the programs that exist at some of these stations where they can also add to what he has to say, you know, as an addition, that they could run that on their own programs about what's going on in the Senate.
Sure.
Because I know from personal experience that it requires a massive response when you're trying to get this kind of thing done. So I would ask that the programmers that have been involved in these kinds of issues before, he just called on them to help facilitate that. That's all. Not taking anything away from what was originally said. I approve of everything that's been said.
Okay.
Just wanted to know if he would consider adding some of the people who might have expertise.
Do you want to respond to that, Greg?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I've sent out an email to you all with the ideas that I had for actions that could be taken, as well as the statement itself, and basically, the idea was to get the stations to prepare cards on their own, giving information on the issue and how to contact the elected officials.
Okay, well, that answers my
question. Supporters. I'll just make the three points. To work with, that I would work with station managers to promote some ongoing coverage and maybe even a town hall meeting, although that may not be possible on the timeline. To work with some other organization outside Pacifica and the affiliate stations, and to issue a statement, which you'll have momentarily, in print, on the audio port, and via the stations, that would alert listeners and supporters.
Great. Yes, Teresa?
Dave?
Yes?
Greg, when I first saw your statement and when I listened to Democracy Now! A couple days ago, they were talking about the COPE bill, and I thought there were more things included in the COPE bill than just the issue of net neutrality.
Well, yes, there are, and I actually did talk about something in addition to that in the statement that I wrote.
That's right. Why I'm reluctant to remove, to strike current media issues.
Okay, may I make a quick suggestion? What I'm hearing is net neutrality and other issues contained in the COPE bill. I think that addresses Lisa's need for specificity, so
yes.
It's not just open-ended, and also your concerns. Would that be acceptable?
Fine. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be.
Lisa, is that acceptable to you?
Right, and the COPE bill is the bill dealing with issues of net neutrality
and
like
related
that.
Issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. That's fine.
Draconian, okay. Horrible.
Great. Then may we move to accept this? Is there any objection to adopting an amendment that states that it will be net neutrality and other media issues contained within the COPE bill?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. In that case, may we accept or adopt that motion as amended? Is there any objection?
No, there's no objection.
Does everybody agree with Rob on that?
Rob does.
Mr. Chair, Rob speaks for me.
Okay. And if there's no objection, we'll adopt it, and we'll go to Lydia's question of Greg.
Okay. Greg, because this is coming upon us rather quickly, Is the 10-week, 7-days-a-week series, election series, is that still, where does that stand? Is there like a budget? Are there personnel? I know this came up at our local LSB meeting, and Alan can probably speak to us if he came up with a couple of alternatives to that, as John has as well. I'm sure our directors can speak to it better than I can.
Speak a little louder, can't hear you.
But we have, just some of the questions, because it's pretty sketchy, and it became a bit of a focus in the dialogue at our LSB meeting, and we're having one next week, so I'd like to be able to report back.
Yes.
Hang on, Greg. I'm going to ask for a motion to extend time.
I move to extend time 15 minutes.
I second.
15 minutes.
Seconded by Lisa. Any objections?
Well, point of clarification, I thought we were getting ready to pass a motion, or did it pass?
We passed it without objection.
Okay, good. All right.
We're so speedy, Ambrose.
But that's AC, not Ambrose.
That was AC.
But it was AC, sorry.
A little drowsy.
But the issue is now whether we're going to engage in a discussion about the status of plans for national programming. So there's been a motion to add 15 minutes. There's been a second. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll add 15 minutes. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, well, we must discuss this. It's obviously very important. To answer your question directly, no one has been hired at this point, although I have started to talk with people who could potentially be producers, because the key to get this from being just an idea to getting, to getting a schedule, a format, to other staff, is really to begin to pull together a team, and that begins with producers. And so I'm talking to various people about people within the Pacifica network family who might be available for that. I've also talked to people about potential hosts, so also people who are currently on the air with us. So right now, that's the status of that, and I'm hoping that I could select a producer within the next week so that we could begin to develop a budget. One of the people who I'm talking to has actually been involved in helping us to develop a budget. We don't have, a decision on that. And to some extent, how much we can spend depends on how the overall budget negotiations with stations and about the national budget go. And so we've been a little hesitant to commit to a specific amount of money. We want to see how little we can spend and still do a high-quality show. Also, I've been meeting with people both individually and starting to meet with the committees and also the PMB programming committee and talking with the general managers. The problem that I've had is that most of the conversations are not about content. Most of the conversations are about process. And in the end, we're going to have to get the content. And that's going to have to happen relatively soon. I believe that the main decisions on the content of the show, what the format will be, and who will ultimately be involved will probably happen in the month of August. And that once people realize that this is not just an idea, but that we're actually going to do something, then I think a lot of people from within Pacifica will be interested. And we want to have segment producers and co-hosts from all the stations. The question of how to structure that is really what is really being discussed. And we have very little experience in doing that in recent years. And so it is a kind of a reinvention process that's going on and is much more difficult than I really thought it would be. So my plan is to basically continue until the network programming coordinator is hired, myself to be involved in discussions, but to bring one or two producer, directors, people who are actually going to be responsible for creating this thing into the discussion as soon as possible, within a matter of weeks, and then to continue the discussions through them and with them. I really don't want to talk about the money part of it at this point. I think it's a little bit premature, at least by a matter of weeks, to go there.
Okay, Don White here. Don White.
And then Lydia, I just want to follow.
And
Rob.
Don, Lisa, Mary, Lydia, and Rob. Is that correct?
And Bob.
And Ray.
Bob
and Ray.
And Ray. Bob, I think you spoke before Lydia.
I'll go after Ray.
Okay.
Bob spoke before Rob.
Bob spoke before Rob. So we'll go Bob, Rob, and Ray. Okay, so Don?
Yeah, Greg, in this signal area, KPFK, one of the issues has been the amount of national programming on this program. I'm not speaking necessarily for myself, but the question is, have you thought, it comes at the time when many signal areas will be having a campaign or elections for the LSB. And as I understand it, the present proposal is half hour daily for 3 months. And is there any compromise position that you have thought about, or have you received some reactions over the amount of programming, like a half hour daily for 3 months?
Actually, it's 1 hour 5 days a week for 10 weeks is what I actually propose. But obviously, all of this is negotiable.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Lisa.
Okay, I want to ask, I want to make sure that I understand, because I'm just going over your, want to be in your report when you say that at this point my plan is to select a producer, a co-producer for a fall series by July 7th. I would like to know a couple of things, and if you address this and I didn't quite understand it, I apologize, but the select name, hire, and you would be the one who would basically be determining who this would be. And then another part to this that I want to bring out is because I don't think that we can just separate process from content even, or even how, because the issues that are being raised in terms of the process and how this is going about, I think really would affect or should definitely be taken into consideration in terms of the show itself, how this would be structured, mm-hmm. what would be going on if indeed it is something that would be going on, you know. So I would just like, you know, one of the other things, I'm just bringing that into my opinion, but I would like you to at least address those points, if that means that you would hire them by July 7th, and if you would be basically the one that would be determining who the producer would be if the show is even to go on.
Okay. Well, if you could write down the questions, Greg, and then we'll come back after people have spoken, it might be more efficient. Or
okay.
If you want to answer a question that somebody poses you at the time, you can ask
okay.
to do that, whatever you think's more efficient. Mary.
Yes. I agree with Lisa that it's hard to separate the process from the content. We're talking, even if it's a half hour daily, You're talking about adding a half-hour daily for Spanish language programming. I am not concerned about the programmers and their turf. I think this is specious, spurious, and a total distraction. We, our listeners are to us analogously what stockholders are to a for-profit company. They support us. They pay for us. We have a fundraiser coming up in October. We're going to need to preempt a bunch of programming for the elections, as Don pointed out. What happens to the listeners? I have not heard anyone on any programming committee or any place else ever address the issue of how to present this to people so that we don't lose our audiences. We will not build fundraising audiences for a new program. It takes overnight. It takes weeks or months, almost always. And I think even in the case of Democracy Now, I wouldn't want to go back to that. But it, normally that's the case, and I don't think anybody would dispute it. So we have no other support, and I don't think any of us want any other support. If we are to keep our main support, be listener sponsorship, we have got to consider those sponsors and what they will do in the face of much of their programming being taken away from them. All of a sudden, there's you're developing a program, there needs to be something. If it's really going to happen, we should start now. We need, every station needs to target who will be, in effect, as far as the audience is concerned, off, gone off the air while this happens, and the reaction that people will have. And you can't always gauge that by the number of contributions in a fund drive, because much of that depends on the skill of the fundraiser. And that's, so I really want to hear that addressed. I think, to me, that is actually the chief issue. Process is a very big concern to me. I agree with Lisa about what she has said about that.
And I just want to point out to people with respect to process that later in this agenda we have a motion that concerns how national programming will be developed, which is the motion by Lane. So motions regarding that process will be in order at that time. Next I have Lydia.
Greg, can we expect that in between, because since we did not add another meeting in July, that you will keep us in the loop? I know that, again, you know, at KPFK we had a number of concerns, not to mention the fact that, we have illustrious people here that are expert on elections, and they do cover the national topics and so on and so forth. But that aside, is I know, and Alan and Don can correct me, but I know Alan had recommended as a possible alternative to stream it on the web, if you can put together a program, again, rather than, interfere. We're going to have interference because preemptions because of the elections and so on, I mean, because of the, you know, Pacifica elections and other things. But the other thing is, and then Don and I, and Don can also correct me, is that we had discussed this also with another member of our programming committee, Sherna, about the possibility of having perhaps like a weekly roundtable for a couple of weeks before the election, and, you know, the day after the election, something like that. And but anyway, just to keep it as flexible as possible and to develop some kind of a process. And if you can keep us in the loop, short of, you know, passing a number, as Dave says, we're going to be revisiting this further on in the agenda. I mean, we can also, you know, pass a number of motions and resolutions with regard to this. But as you said, this is not in cement yet. It's pretty fluid. I'm just trying to get a sense of how far along it is, how, you know, how preemptive we have to be or not. So that's my, it's a question, really.
Bob.
Well, first question to the chair. When you said motions be in order under that later item, does that include motions about this particular program? Because the motion on the floor from Ambrose is about a future program. It's not about this fall's program.
Any motion about the development of a program, I mean, this is for a national program to complement Democracy Now. So it would be in order at that time to have any motion that's relevant to the production of a national program.
Okay.
It's not, you know, I entertained the motion on the editorial because that's not a substantive item. This is a substantive item, so it should
okay,
go
that's fine.
With an item that was noticed with the meeting.
Right. So what I wanted to say was that I certainly appreciate the value of national programs on current issues facing the country, and I like Lydia's idea about maybe, you know, perhaps a couple specials or more than that with a roundtable approach to from all five stations contributing as the elections get close. But our LSB passed a motion opposing the idea of a one-hour-a-day, five-day-a-week nationally produced program on the elections, given that certainly at our station in particular, and I know that other stations also already do very good coverage of many of these issues with the experience and perspectives that are brought from our signal area, which is a really crucial thing to relate it to the local situation. So that would be a huge disruption of a schedule and displacement of five weekly shows without an established need, having been shown that for 10 weeks that's an absolutely necessary thing. So we have very serious concerns, and not to mention the process by which this happened, that it was not based on a consultation or a needs assessment with the local program directors and general managers, but rather an idea that came from the national office and then, you know, is presented kind of later on to the local managers. So, those are just major concerns, as well as what people have mentioned, that it would be competing with the required coverage of the LSB elections, which have to have on-air debates during that same time period, as well as the pledge drive that I know at WBAI it's always in October, and I think at the other stations it's around the same time as well.
Right.
So those are our concerns. Oh, and finally, the question of a must-carry rule, which the executive director explicitly invoked as a possibility that he might impose on this show, that we would be strongly opposed to that because it's one of the major battles of the old against the old corporate Pacifica was against a unilateral imposition from the national office on what local stations should carry on their stations.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left in the extended time. We have Rob.
If I get to respond at some point.
Oh, yeah, hang on. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with people, is allow Rob and Ray, who has to speak, to speak, and allow Greg's response, and then move the agenda. Is that acceptable?
LaVarn, hello.
Hi,
this is LaVarn. I'd like to speak. I haven't had all evening, so I would
okay,
like to
if
speak.
Okay, if we're going to add people, then we need a motion to extend time.
This is Teresa. I move that we add 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Is there an objection? It's been seconded. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll add another 15 minutes. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to agree to some extent with Greg, but in a very indirect fashion. I would like to point out that one of the reasons that there has been no discussion of the substantive issues involved in this, I think, is because there has been no discussion thus far with the programming committee. And the channels of communication that have been established for well over 10 years for programming have been restricted, not included governance. They have solely involved the general managers and the program directors and management. And that's why, in my view, we don't discuss substance. And the other thing I would like to point out is that one of the ways that we would inform our listeners of these issues were if we maintained a regular schedule and notified our issues of what issues of national interest and import we were covering and if we promoted them. But in many of our local stations, we can barely get the local stations to provide programming and promotion around the elections that are coming up. So one of the things that I would point out in this discussion is that because governance has been able to have absolutely no input into the programming, I think that the issues of substance don't get included. And I would ask that we try, as a board, try to change that so that we can work cooperatively, not dictatorially, but cooperatively with management in bringing about some of these changes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you for brevity. Ray.
Yes, I think that what Greg referred to as process is actually a 2,000-pound gorilla in the corner. In this case, the process is quite important. George Washington was allowed to select his successor. his replacement and chose the most qualified individual in the country, I would have no problem. And I think it would be more injurious to pick that individual, as qualified as they might be, than to violate the process of allowing participation and encouraging participation of American people in electing their leaders. So I have no doubt at all the abilities of the executive director to put on a program that is competent and highly interesting and you know that would meet that would be on very high standard. The process in this case involved, at least for me, and for me, I've heard people talk about practical issues of competition of time and resources. To me, a more important issue to me is the principle that the people will be affected by, the people who are part of Pacifica, be part of this process and not be included. And that has to be discussed. And that, and somebody, I believe, said earlier that our position is historical. Our position to an imposed system is based on a reality where we actually did have it. And I, although I realize that people can go the other way, the other extreme, and be overly sensitive, I think that essence of what we're talking about, that we are as a progressive open network, is to have a decision made on a consensus and representing the majority views, certainly of this board having a chance to weigh in. So I'll move forward on that.
Dave, this is Teresa. Could you put me on the stack?
Okay, I have Lavarne and then Teresa, and then I'd like to give Greg.
Ambrose.
Okay, Lavarne, Teresa, and Ambrose, and then I'd like to give Greg an opportunity to respond. Lavarne.
Hey, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? I'm on a cell phone. Okay, what I'd like to say is that, you know, kind of what Robert said, I agree with in terms of what Greg is proposing. And the reason why is that, you know, I think that Pacifica as a board, we need to look at, you know, look at the past, look at the future, look at success, look at failure. And that the success in the past, someone's moving their foot around and breathing hard. Could you, like, go on mute for a second? Because my cell phone picks up all of this, and it's really difficult for me to talk when I hear that. Thank you. Okay, again, look at the past, look at the future. In the past, where we've had success was Democracy Now. It was a must carry. There were various political issues for that, and it happened, and it's fair. So there's a history of success. Now, if you look at other, I guess, ventures where there was an attempt to do something, and it's been a failure. So, you know, there's nothing to show of contrary to Democracy Now. So I don't know why we can't use a success as a model versus, you know, doing nothing or failure. And, again, I'm going to ask someone to please mute the phone, please. Thank you. And then we're looking at the future. We're looking at, you know, where we're going as a network, what we can do, what is programming. And it's really interesting to talk about the LSD taking a position on programming, because here at CFA, there's a constant discussion or diatribe or put down of the LSP as being heavily involved in programming, which we really are not. We are, you know, the program council actually determines local programming, although LSP members are on program council. So for the LSP to take a front position on programming, I think that here at KPFA we would find that a little issue would have to be addressed. So again, you know, we definitely need to. And then in the past, I can recall with the prior ED, that certain programming alternatives were being discussed, and the way that was discussed was that, oh, we're going to do A, B, C, and we're going to go and discuss that, and we'll talk to the, and we'll just leave the P&B meeting, and we'll let you know what happens when it happens. Here we have an ET who lays this vision out, who expects and demands, and I think deserves to have collaboration with all of the stations to see if we can have another success for Pacifica in the model of Democracy Now. That this is something I think that we should all try to move along, you know, look at it critically, you know, have our people with expertise and even outside people who could help us on this in terms of making this a success and determining that this is where our listeners really would like to see the network and would like to get more programming from Pacifica. So again, just trying to summarize that, you know, either we can use a model of success to move forward, or we can just spiral down into failure where we have fundraisers where the fundraising continues to go down. We have programming where the listeners have actually abandoned the station. So, you know, again, what model are you going to use? Are you going to use this like listeners decreasing revenues, or are you going to use the model of success of Democracy Now? So, again, you know, I think that we should wholeheartedly look at this critically. We should really try to support this vision, and that I think Pacifica deserves this at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ambrose. Oh, no, Teresa. And then Ambrose.
I'll try to be brief. In 2004, when there was all of this campaigning at the local stations, that was really not the campaigning that I wanted emphasized on our stations. I really wanted to hear bigger issues other than candidates running for the board. And I hope that we can, in the midst of our campaigning for the foundation, squeeze in a national show discussing issues that are bigger than all of us combined, exponentially. I think that we have an ED that has a vision. I want him to try to put something together. Every time Greg has given a speech at our board meetings and the one that he gave to the NFCB and his writing that I've seen, I've wanted a copy of it. And people have said, got to have a copy of this because he has a call to action, and I'd like to give him a try to pull something together so that we can try some collaboration that all the affiliates will want to tune in, and I'll want to tune in at a certain time to hear this program, something that we can promote. I enjoy Sonali's show at KPFK. I enjoy Guns and Butter. I enjoy Flashpoints. I enjoy certain programs at all of these stations, and I would like to give us a try here to do something bigger than all of us. So I'm supporting giving Greg a shot at trying this.
Thanks, Ambrose.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Greg if he's given the vision to the LSB staff and personnel and programmers of the creation of a Democracy Now! Complementary program and gotten them involved in how we can think and produce that kind of national program and get them thinking in terms of what the kind of budget we ought to be considering. What are the parameters of such a program? Should it be the best of Pacifica or something entirely new? Have the people you've talked with discussed that?